Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that doesn't always get Joe Peck, but when it does...
Joe, what are you doing here? More importantly, where have you been? And most importantly, why the hell are you in my seat?
All valid questions.
So answer them.
I'm afraid I can't do that, John.
Don't be an ass, dude. Just tell me where you've
no,
been.
No, dude, I literally can't tell you because I don't know.
Okay. All right. We'll get back to that in a second, but first, we've got a show to do. Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that's never been in a shower of meat. But one can dream. This is Hysteria 51.
Wasn't Shower of Meat your nickname in college?
See? Now that is a golden joke. He's getting good at it. That's perfect. Execution. It's beautiful.
I'm not sure perfect is the word I'd use. We are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago. I'm your host, John Goforth, and sitting across from me is my co-host and the Johnny Depp to my Abraham Lincoln, Mr. Brent Hand.
I don't even get that reference, John, but I'll take it, I guess. I mean, have you seen the pictures of both men? I think that comparison is astute.
The comparison is that they were both born in Kentucky.
Oh.
I wasn't talking about their looks.
Oh.
One is a lecherous drunk. The other is arguably the greatest president in our nation's history. That's the comparison I was making.
And I am better looking, so I do agree.
I've never heard a comparison more relative.
That other voice you're hearing is the third host of this show and the only one that literally doesn't have a heart. He's the one, the only conspiracy bot.
I don't have one figuratively either. Don't confuse people with your sloppy adverbs.
I built C-Bot in my lab to help write and produce a show, and apparently he does know grammar, but unfortunately, he doesn't do any of the work. He's just an asshole.
Hashtag truth. But today I did do some work. I have a song.
Nope. No time for your shenanigans right now. I need to get back to...
Pecker!
His name is Pecker.
Oh, boy. Yep. Back to you. Joe, welcome back, I guess. Mm-hmm. I want to get back to your explanation about why you're here, where you've been, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
John, I feel like it couldn't be more clear based on the explanation I gave you earlier. Like,
well, please elucidate.
I do not know where I've been the last 3 months. I woke up here in the studio after I thought I heard Kyle say something in a dream beckoning me. You weren't around, but the show must go on, man. So I decided to just kick off an episode.
Do you even know what topic you're going to do?
Define topic.
And that's why we bring him back, folks.
Do I ever have a topic?
Glad you're here. Glad trash bags. Bag. British announcer guy. She's muffins.
Shut the fuck up, Kyle. Joe, is this one of the things where you get way too drunk and just show up on my porch? Well, just seem to be there all the time waiting on my porch.
Hey, it's a fair question because waiting is one of the most common activities I take part in. But in this case, the waiting was done over a multi-month period of not being around you guys. And I don't know, man, here I am. I literally can't remember the last 3 months. So I woke up right over here.
And you heard Kyle.
That's not terribly uncommon. Like hearing Kyle in my dreams, but I think it's kind of like a memory of a dream. It's really, it's difficult to recall and it's fading fast.
Total recall. Mars my AARs. Lady with three.
Kyle, go somewhere else, dude.
Playing Somewhere Else by Toby Keith on Amazon Music.
He's been hanging out with Alexa way too much, Brent. Anyway, Joe, since you're here, I guess you should go ahead and stay for the whole show.
Where else would I go? To conduct business?
Business! Well, welcome back, man. While you were gone, lots of things have happened, and yet kind of nothing's happened.
Yeah, the show's been much better, and no one asked about you, and that's pretty much the gist.
Let's be fair. There is this weird undercurrent in Hysteria Nation. That's our Facebook discussion group. If you haven't been there, go on Facebook and search Hysteria Nation.
Preach.
There's a weird undercurrent on our Facebook discussion group of Joe Alkalites that are constantly, where's Joe? Why isn't Joe back? There's some reviews on
iTunes. Now, are they Alkalites
iTunes.
Or Acolytes? Because Alkalites seem like they're like acidic and they tear. Yeah, I'm going with that. Keep going.
Yeah, that's probably closer to the truth.
I don't think you guys understand the definition of the word weird. I'm pretty sure the word you're looking for is understandable.
Oh, sure. So yeah, there's this weird subgroup that are like actual Joe Peck fans. And they've been disturbed by your absence. We, however, haven't been.
And they are an undertow, like you said, because they will drag you down with them. Jokes are best when you have to explain them to everyone.
That's when you know it's good.
So welcome back, Joe. We're semi glad you're here for today, at least. I mean, you probably won't be welcome back to the show after this.
Mm.
But
I'm not feeling very welcome today, frankly.
Oh well, gosh, are your feelings hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need a
significantly?
Do you need a shoulder to cry on?
I'm worried about him. He's drinking a Diet Mountain Dew, and I don't think I've ever seen him in here drink anything non-alcoholic.
Where's his alcohol mixed with alcohol?
Well, he turned him into Alkalites.
The Alkalites are partaking.
All right, fellas, let's talk meteorology. Okay.
I thought you'd never ask. I've been working on my green screen.
There, John.
Been working on my green screen skills so that I can point north, south, east, and west.
We got a nor'easter coming in.
All right. A nor'meester.
Hey, nor'meester.
Now, everyone has their favorite meteorological events. Some love a thunderstorm. Well, a non-threatening thunderstorm.
I love to turn one of those on and fall asleep. Like,
yeah.
Literally with my, unfortunately, Alexa. Lord knows what it's whispering to me in my slumber, but yeah.
Yeah, well, so you like those. Some people, you know, a thunderstorm especially, you think about, like, the time of year, like, in the dead of summer where, like, there's no wind and all of a sudden it blows in out of the west or whatever. Then there's
Why is it always out of the west? Have you ever noticed that?
That's just heat lightning. Don't worry about it.
You know, barometric pressure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Reasons.
And
reasons. Sorry.
The dew point.
Sorry.
The dew point.
The system cut out while we were explaining that perfectly. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't have time to go back through that.
But I'm hoping you understand now, Joe. Other folks love a snow shower Christmas morning to have a white Christmas, and yet others can think of nothing cozier than the kind of like a rainy and overcast fall day, you know, snuggle up with a good book and a cup of tea or whatever. But for my money, you know what my favorite is?
Golden showers.
Nope.
Shit, I lost that bet then.
Thanks for that awful, awful guess. My favorite is a Kentucky meat shower.
Now, I would be a part of many more Kentucky meat showers, John, but I'm just not flexible enough, and I don't know anyone missing two fingers.
I don't even know where to go with that. My assumption is that what you think a Kentucky meat shower is wrong, but let me set you straight. You might ask what one is. You came to the right place. It's our topic this week.
I bet Urban Dictionary's definition of a Kentucky meat shower and what we're going to tell them about the real Kentucky meat shower are vastly different, if I had to guess.
You've never been in a rusty trombone before?
No, and to tell you the truth, I don't even know where to rent a donkey.
Okay.
Not after I lost my deposit the last time.
All right. Well, a real Kentucky meat shower was a supposed meteorological event.
But are we saying supposed? This is a fact that happened.
Supposed that it was meteorological in nature.
Okay.
You're tracking.
Yeah, unlike most things involving you two, like, this is not hypothetical.
Yeah, this really happened. And you're going to find out. It was quite tasty.
I just caught that.
You like that? Hey.
Oh.
All right, story time, kids. The date is March 3rd, 1876, almost exactly 144 years prior to the release of this episode.
12 squared, 12 squared.
Yes, Kyle, thank you. Wow, he's getting, that was actually decently intelligent.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, on this fateful 19th century day, a farmer's wife named Mrs. Crouch is outside her farmhouse in Bath County, Kentucky, making soap.
As one is to do, because it's the 1800s in Kentucky. What else are you going to do?
Well, it's also Bath County. You got to have some soap. I think she lived next door to whoever was making rubber duckies.
First rule of meat showers is you don't talk about meat showers.
Shut up, Kyle.
Anyway, we need new robots. It's around it's around 11 a.m. and something strange happened. There's not a cloud in the sky, and yet inexplicably it starts raining. Meat.
Man, don't you just hate when that happens?
Yeah. Or love, I mean, I suppose, depending on the meat of choice. That's right. The heavens poured forth a bounty of animal flesh onto Mrs. Crouch's lawn and beyond.
No one should mess with Mrs. Crouch, especially when she's in Bath County making soap. I mean, this sounds like a bad Mad Lib or something. And it started raining meat.
Well, and for the record, the other thing that makes this just sound so fake, even though it's not fake, all the research I did, couldn't find one example of someone saying her first name. It was always Mrs. Crouch.
Well, she was a spinster, so does she even need a name?
She didn't have one.
I mean, it was really Rich Crenshaw.
She was pushing 20, no kids, not unmarried.
She's like the opposite of the royals who don't have last names.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
But they do.
You people say Windsor. It's not Windsor. They don't go by it.
They also just decided it. Like, I don't care if you're royal. You can't just one day be like, hey, by the way, my last name is Windsor. Well, it doesn't work
It was German until they decided that maybe it didn't look good to be German. And they go, oh,
and
Windsor.
We have the requisite reference to the Nazis.
My last name is Tough Cool Guy.
Is there any chance the meat that was raining down was schnitzel?
Well, here's the thing, and here's the good thing about this, is you know it was a very 1800s time in Kentucky, because Mrs. Crouch and her husband, she wasn't a spinster, are said to have looked on in fear as they thought God was exacting some sort of, one can only think, delicious revenge on them. Like, was that one of the seven plagues? Like, is it locust? No,
it's the eighth.
It's Braunschweiger.
The little known eighth.
Braunschweiger. I have some in my fridge right now. I love it.
I love Braunschweiger. They were frightened, but there was one member of the family that wasn't. Their cat, I'm assuming, who was named Chairman Meow.
I don't believe that for a second.
By the way, I'd probably say I'm going to throw out 95% odds that Mrs. Crouch's first name was Goody.
Goody.
I mean, it was 1870. Basically, your name's Goody, and you're probably getting burned at the
Goody
stake.
Goody and Zed Crouch.
Were they burning a lot of people at the stake in 1870?
Isn't that around the time of the witch trials?
Only 2 centuries before that, but you're close.
If it rains steak on you, you get burnt on one. That's the way it goes. So saith the Lord, amen.
That was in the meat apocrypha.
Yeah. So you were telling us about Chairman Meow. So
Chairman Meow runs out from the house and gorges himself. I'm making an assumption about the cat's sex. I guess I don't know his pronouns, but he gorges himself on the original, let's call it the original pop-up restaurant.
Hey.
Hopefully it was poisoned.
Nope, just regular old meat.
This story sucks.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, by the time the shower was over, it had covered an area of the farm roughly the size of a football field with meaty morsels. Pieces were even found on top and sticking to the fence posts. They actually said, this is a quote that they said, it was enough to fill a horse wagon. And everyone's like, what the hell does that mean now? But that was just a thing that they used back then.
About the size of a Walmart.
You know, this thing was so huge. It was, you know, bigger than a Walmart.
So they used to use horse wagon. Today we use Walmart. Yeah,
but literally, that is when, and not only that, multiple people were quoted as saying, you couldn't have fit in all that meat on a horse wagon.
16 horse wagons to a Walmart is what I always use as my.
My grandpa used to always hum 16 horse wagon tune. Mm-hmm.
Remember in grade school, in the back of notebooks, they would have those conversion charts?
Yes.
Is that in there?
Oh, well, I was going to ask.
One hogshead is roughly 3.5 horse wagons.
You know, if you're ever at the store and you're going to be cooking something, you need to know how many ounces are in whatever.
Yeah.
You type it into Google real quick and it gives you the quick conversion on your phone, and you could type in other numbers because it's literally an app
keyboard.
You can interact
it's literally
with.
A keyboard.
It's an app you can interact with. And I'm wondering if there's a horse wagon active app in Google. Do you think?
We get to trademark that immediately because somebody's going to run out there and create it.
Yeah. Trademark. Patent.
Patented.
Patented. It's that counts, right?
Yes. TM.
Yeah.
Yes. Implied verbal consent.
Every time I write a sentence anywhere, I just put a little TM next to it.
So Mrs. Crouch thought the pieces looked, she identified them as beef and noted that they ranged in size from roughly a snowflake size, so both in thickness and in, you know, I suppose, circumference.
I suppose. Goody didn't get into that amount of detail.
To all this, me chow's giving me the vapors.
Bring me my laudlum.
What's your meat circumference?
Meat pie?
Meat pie art squared. Mincemeat pie. Yes. We all bring it back. To larger strips, up to around 4 inches long. So there was little meat and big meat. And this was a
this is a pretty, I know what you're gonna say, this is pretty newsworthy. This is pretty newsworthy because 100 and some years later we're still talking about it.
144.
That's right.
This is the best episode
ever.
But the thing about it is, so that this story actually kind of went viral for the age. It made the rounds.
Mm-hmm.
People from all over the area, scientists, everything came to the Crouch Farm to see what happened for themselves, because it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, right. And they go, no, it really happened. And okay, I got to see this for myself.
Though, you know, you're not, by the time you read it in the paper and then go to the Crouch Farm, you're not exactly seeing the splendor that was the meat shower. It will all of, like, you know, gross and old, right, and days old and rancid.
Well, you're also, you got to think about, like, word traveling at that time. Like, not only did it have to get to the newspaper, that newspaper had to get delivered, but you're rolling in a wagon. Like, it's probably a 3-day journey.
Well, Fargo man here, here's your trumpet. Did you hear about the meat shower down over at the Crouch Farm? Why do I talk like this?
You're rolling in your horse wagon.
Yeah. Yes.
But the thing that the people came there,
you know,
do,
we could probably fill this whole thing up with this meat here.
Well, you're not rolling in a Walmart.
All right, though, the thing that the people really wanted to do, though, and I guess this was fun for them, is try to figure out what the hell kind of meat it was. People assumed it to be beef.
That was actually, Brent, that was actually a game they played in all versions of life back then, guess the meat.
What meat's in my mouth?
Mm, yeah.
Meat's in my mouth? Turn the lights out. Some said it was extra greasy. Beef or not, most people, though, had no interest in ingesting the meat. There's an interesting exactly. Then along came this hunter. John, we need a name for him.
Let's call him Butch.
Butch.
Old Butch Hunter.
By golly, he's going to try the meat and identify it. So old Butch picks up a hunk and he literally fucking eats it. Wasn't even, I guess a few people tried it in some of the reports I was reading. That is just ballsy.
Oh, we're going to get to the next one here in a second. Butch first decides that the rest of the onlookers are idiots and that the meaty monsoon was bear meat.
Meaty monsoon. You are a wordsmith.
I bet you Butch is the kind of guy who walks around in the middle of January when it's 12 degrees out in shorts and tells everybody, it's not so cold. Yeah. What are you doing in that coat?
Now,
so,
I would have
cold is a state of mind.
Yeah. I would have went with Dutch, but I'm going to respect your Butch.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Dutch would have been a valid choice, but we went with Butch. Because it was his name. And Butch decides it was bear meat.
Then someone else comes along, John.
Yeah, a local butcher. Let's unironically, his name was Hunter. Hunter. I made that up, too. And he says, au contraire. I don't know why he's French, but
he
is.
He was a French trapper.
He would be a Frenchman.
Yeah. It's mutton. He's saying it's mutton.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are very different. All joking aside, bear is incredibly greasy. I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's a lot of fat in bear.
I've never had bear.
Nor I.
Most things you can confuse, you know, you could confuse mutton and stuff like that with even deer, stuff like that. You could say, oh, maybe it's.
I've had pieces of lamb and like backstrap from venison that taste very similar.
Right.
Kind of gamey.
Venison a lot of times is darker. You know, it's a darker red. But when it's chopped up like that, who's to say? But I thought,
well,
these two guys,
someone is to say, because the most crazy part is somebody threw some in a jar and it's still around.
Right.
We'll get to that.
Uh-huh.
And while we now have the expertise of both Butch and Hunter, it's time to get the opinion of some real motherfucking scientists. That's after the break on Hysteria 51.
Thank you for finally addressing me as a real motherfucking scientist. I appreciate that.
I can't play yes and with that. I just can't.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, HYSTERIA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Thank you. Oh, come forth, meat. I like to think someone's just out in the field in a pentagram chanting for it to rain because it's a blue sky.
And they
just crossed their T's and dotted their lowercase J's wrong, and they called forth meat instead of rain. Like, damn it.
Oh, yeah.
That's so close.
It rained.
It was the original Burning Man.
So, gentlemen, not too long after the meat shower, the St. Louis Globe Democrat, a once fine publication, ran a story on the incident saying samples had been sent all about the country to scientists and chemists.
And hungry folks.
Yeah. Mm. Give this a shot, see what you think.
So, let's get to some of the theories.
To what the meat was, right?
Yeah, so there's this Professor J.L. Smith, and he said it was dried up frog spawn that had been swept up by the winds and graciously rained down on the farm. A lot of these are going to sound crazy, but they're things that have been proven to have happened in the past, so they're just trying to look at, well, what could this be?
Though it's funny that when you hear some of these explanations, quote-unquote, the way the meat was described by every onlooker, it's like, it looks like, whether you think it's bear or beef or mutton, it's like raw hunks of beef, some small, some big. I don't know how you could look at that and go, yeah, frog spawn.
Yeah, but John, just remember, when you're brainstorming, there's no stupid ideas.
That's right.
That's why I don't brainstorm at work much, because I tend to have really strong beliefs on stupid ideas.
What? Or in this case,
meat storming.
Yeah.
Nice.
So this next one, it comes from Leopold Brandes, which is just a beautiful name. This one actually has traction. A lot of people say that it could have been this. He wrote a journal that the meat in question was nothing more than Gnostic bacteria. Now, Gnostic is normally this tiny, hard to see substance, but it expands into these jelly-like masses when rain falls on it. A lot of the meat looked like cartilage and pieces like that, so that's kind of what they said this was. But I looked up a lot of pictures of Gnostic bacteria, and it looked like marbles, like gross little marbles.
Yeah, I looked up a bunch of pictures, too, and even when you find a Gnostic colony, like a bunch of it together, it looks like jelly, like green jellyfish, like a big bunch of seaweed.
And this is stuff that has been proven to be picked up in the air and come down, but this would have been a giant fucking colony.
And it does not look like meat.
Now, does it taste like bear meat? Did you guys try any?
Actually, reportedly tastes like chicken, believe it or not.
I brought some for you assholes to try.
You brought some Gnostic. All right, let's see it. That just looks like mushrooms.
Yeah.
Ignore that. Just eat it.
You know what? I pressed my luck a week ago, which I feel like he was buttering us up to get to this. I don't think I'm going to press my luck.
Yeah, no. Random mushrooms that are most likely poison. No thanks, C-Bot.
Yeah, so Brandes, I'm sorry. We're just going to call him Leopold because that's a beautiful name, gave the meat samples to the Newark Scientific Association for analysis. And Dr. A. Meade Edwards came to another conclusion, stating that the meat had been identified as, and this is where it gets crazy, lung tissue from either a horse or a human infant. A human infant. The structure of the organ in these two cases are almost identical and hard to tell the difference between. That is crazy. That is like, oh, this is either horse meat or baby. Baby what? Just baby.
You know what these doctors are called?
Quacks.
Yes. But they're also called histologists. I had never heard that term before. It's someone who studies tissue.
Huh. Oh, tissue.
Like a genuine scientistician.
A scientist, yes.
Then you got a doctor.
It's almost as if you've been doing too much science.
Too much science, is that possible?
A doctor at Louisville College, he burned some and noted it smelled like spoiled mutton. So there you got another mutton. He was the only one who thought it was mutton, as we've said. The butcher thought it was that. And eventually, seven samples were examined by several scientists who confirmed two to be lung tissue, three to be muscular tissue, and two were said to be made of cartilage.
I'm a scientist. I don't believe in anything.
So we know it's meat. But where did it come from? That seems to be the million-dollar question.
Before we move on, I'd like to know, I want to ask you fellas a question. We talked about Professor J.L. Smith. We talked about noted scientist Dr. A. Meade Edwards. Whenever we talk about a lot of old-timey doctors on the show, but sometimes we do stories from more recent times. Why are only the old-timey ones the ones always use their initials? It's always an initial or two and then a last name. But if we talk about something from current day, it's never the initials. It's always the full name.
My uncle
Please let me know.
I think it's a different time.
It was a different time.
But for real, though, I had an uncle whose first name was the letter L.
Really?
His name was L. Grover Roberts. And he went by LG, was what most people called
L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah, well, yeah, but oh. L for him actually was a name. My uncle's first name was the letter L.
No, I was implying that your uncle was L. Ron Hubbard.
No, I'm just denying that because it's too close to home.
Too close to home. Too soon.
No, but for real, though, like, yeah, they're just all these old timey. Yeah, it's like a Sebastian Waldorf. Like, it's crazy names like that. You're like, that fell out of style.
You know, that guy made one hell of a salad.
That or he was like an oil baron, like one or of something or the other.
But Brent, you asked a really good question. We know it's meat, but where did it come from?
Dead meat sacks. It's the only solution. Why? I'm glad you asked. To help explain, I composed a song.
It's raining.
Meat sacks. Meat sex.
Amen. I'm gonna go out. I'm gonna let myself get absolutely soaked
in blood.
I mean, it's on par with most of his music.
His music has a certain style. His music has a certain style to it.
Woo! I gotta tell you though, I don't think I can call that composing a thing. It's just a. Just take out the weather girls. And I also saw some meme online. It's like, what if it's raining men and let the bodies hit the floor? We're just two different views of the same event. That's how you get it. But all joking aside, see about it. You didn't compose that.
Prove it.
Fine. Alexa, play It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls.
Now playing It's Raining Men.
Stop. Why does he keep doing that?
Because I'm right.
Like you said earlier, dude, we need new rope.
We do. We really do. Enough of this. Enough of this. Gents, if this happened to you, what would your initial reaction be? If you're standing there, bright summer day, meat rains down.
Tell you what wouldn't be is going, I wonder what that is. You know, I don't think I'm going to be tasting it.
Yeah.
Number one, looking up to see what the hell's going on. And that's going to come into play with some of the things that we're going to talk about of what
the theories
come from. Yeah. Oh. I would be scouring the sky to try to figure out what's going on.
Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Well, he took a flank to the eye.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I think the first thing you got to do is get a little cover.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just getting slapped in the head.
Oh, man. When you're on a Kentucky porch soap, you don't worry about getting slapped.
I know Brent Hand is always looking for an opportunity to get slapped in the head with meat, but like most of us would run for cover.
Hey-o!
So if you had to define what a Kentucky meat shower is, Joe.
Pork chop sandwiches!
While you're ducking for cover, what would a Kentucky meat shower be to you?
I've been giving this a lot of thought, and it's inconclusive for me right now, but it definitely involves Butch.
On that note, let's end the break. But when we come back, the collective scientific community, which is inside all of us, believe they discovered our meaty culprit. That's next on Hysteria 51.
I have science in me.
Acast powers some of the world's best podcasts. Here's a show we recommend.
Hello, everyone. I'm Danny Pellegrino.
I'm Jenna Brister.
And we are back for season two of a very merry, iconic podcast. We're going to be diving into your favorite holiday movies, recapping them, and going on a few tangents.
Yes, and it's the end of the world as we know it. So why not close out 2020 with a bunch of episodes of Holiday Recap with us?
So we hope everyone grabs a cup of eggnog.
And a fistful of candy.
Cook that bird in
Doritos.
The
Doritos. We don't care what you're into. Just join us.
Grab your bed wine. Grab your couch cocoa. We're getting lit on the holiday movies. We'll be doing 10 recap episodes. So subscribe to A Very Merry Iconic Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts and find us on social media at A Very Merry Iconic Podcast on Instagram, and we'll have all the updates there.
Acast recommends.
So, John, you were regaling us with this story of a shower of quivering flesh.
Yeah, it's
I'm ready for you to continue.
I like that name better. It's kind of like Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Let Go and Love the Bomb or whatever the name of the movie is. This is Kentucky Meat Shower or A Shower of Quivering Flesh.
Yes.
All right.
I drink a pound of flesh from The Merchant of Venice.
Well, you know, you can fit about 32 of those in a horse cart.
Okay.
Yeah, pounds of flesh.
That's true. I checked.
Thank you.
I used the conversion.
That would be what, 488 would fit in a Walmart?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. carry the two, pi r squared. Yep, we got it. All right. So now we know it was meat. That's unequivocal.
Science and taste.
I mean, you put the two together, it is a deadly, deadly combo. But where in the wide world of protein did the meat come from?
There's a lot of protein that I don't want showering down on me.
Enter.
Frog spawn.
Enter another another
by the way,
initial
band name.
Yeah, that is true. So who are you going to see this weekend? Oh, going to see Lemon Scented Weekend. Who's opening for him? Frog Spawn.
It's at the Wide World of Protein Expedition.
Oh, wow.
You know the Wide World of Protein? It's as big as two Walmarts.
Yeah. You've been trying to say this guy's name now for 5 minutes. What? You said it's a good one?
Well, it's not a good. It's another initialed name.
Okay.
Dr. L.D. Kastenbein.
L.D. Kastenbein. What did L.D. stand for? Why are they all L's?
A lot of L's, yeah.
It's actually the character from 16 Candles, Long Duck Dong.
Yes.
Dong is short for Kastenbein.
Yes, that's exactly right. It all works out. All right. Kastenbein also received one of the many samples we discussed earlier, and he also set fire to it.
My man.
I love barbecue. I love barbecue cheese muffins.
Is that like a hidden side of 1800s science? Was like the first reaction in any scientific endeavor to be like, well, first things first, can we light it on fire, please?
My daughter's been coughing for 3 days. Let's see if she'll burn.
Like, I'm thinking of like, remember freshman year, like chemistry? Once a week you had lab, yeah. And the first thing you did in lab, no matter what, is fire up the Bunsen burner on full, no matter what. It
Here
didn't
we go.
Matter what the experiment
We lost
is.
More notebooks that way. Okay, that's a fair analysis of 1800s science. However, I would also point out, I hate to almost agree with Kyle here, what else would you do when given raw meat? Barbecue that shit.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like to fire up the old Weber kettle and, throw on some mystery meat?
Well, and not to be outdone by the dudes tasting it, he actually said that it smelled like rancid mutton. So we got that going
for us. We have a commonality. But then he gave an explanation as to why it might have happened. And he did this in an 1876 edition of the Louisville Medical News.
Now, Joe celebrates their entire back catalog.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So which was your favorite issue? Was it the Take Cocaine for the Ghosts in Your Blood?
It was the How to Hide Marijuana in a Field of Corn issue.
And by the way, if we're talking about the 1870s, it was likely spelled with about 17 extra consonants and vowels.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you seen the way they used to spell marijuana?
Always.
Marijuana and children. How much is enough for your good dentistry?
No, that would have been heroin, actually.
Or moonshine or something. Yeah.
Here we go. I also enjoyed the special supplemental issue on laudanum.
A swig a day will keep everyone away.
It had Old Goody Crouch on the cover. Like, laudanum and me.
Old Goody Crouch.
Just sitting there making soap.
Laudanum and me, a life of soap and meat.
All right. So tell us about the Louisville Medical News.
All right. This is the actual quote from the Louisville Medical News from Dr. L.D. Kastenbein. The only plausible theory, I'm going to give you my L.D. Kastenbein voice. Mm-hmm. The only plausible theory explanatory of this anomalous shower appears to me to be that suggested by the old Ohio farmer. The disgorgement of some vultures that were sailing over the spot. From their immense height, the particles were scattered by the prevailing wind over the ground, he wrote. The variety of tissue discovered, muscular, connective, fatty, structureless, etc., can only be explained by this theory.
Yeah, so this is the big one that everyone seems to stick to, is this basic theory here is that vultures, they will absolutely stuff themselves because they don't know when they're going to get food again. So carrion birds, they
find a dead thing.
And they will stay there until they've digested enough. And now they have incredibly, incredibly acidic stomach acids. So that's why they can eat rotted everything.
Right.
Like the alien?
Exactly. But that's their blood xenomorphs, similar. Yes. Yeah. But it still, with that, they have a ton of digesting to do. So it'll sit in their stomach for a long time. And then something comes along and it will frighten them. They'll take off. They'll get up in the air and they're like, shit, I'm too heavy to fly. They'll puke. And I read online that it said if one pukes, if they're in a flock, or I don't know what a flock of vultures is called, they'll all puke. Like if they see it once, it's not like, oh, gross. It's just they'll do it so that they can all get away.
Well,
yeah, because of the smell, like all of us.
I was about to say,
puke, it's, you puke.
That's exactly right. I was about to say, it's more like humans. Somebody else is puking, all of a sudden,
all of a sudden, there's 50 pounds of used blueberries on the entire women's auxiliary.
Because, you know, vultures sitting there eating three-week-old meat, they're obviously disgusted by things.
Yeah.
Them and Butch. Yeah. Is that's where Butch came from. He was with the vultures, gorging the vultures. On the carcass of an old deer.
So the way I understand what you're saying, Brent, like, of course, if they're sitting there and they're way too full and they need to get away from a predator, they're going to throw up and take off.
But usually they'll do it on the ground.
Right. So this theory states that they were there was a gaggle of them. That's not the right one, but whatever. A murder of them?
No, herd?
That's not a herd. Sure, let's go with herd.
A peck of vultures.
A peck of vultures was flying overhead.
A Walmart of
and
vultures.
All collectively decided to throw up at the same time. So I guess
pilot the bombardier. Pilot the bombardier.
Still had some in there.
And all the vultures were wearing goggles and a leather helmet. Yes.
And then they made a joke about releasing the Kraken.
Yeah.
In theory, for this theory to play out, they would have had to have been in flight and just had enough left in them that they all decided to get rid of it because they were startled or, you know, having fun with each other. I don't know.
And also, what's startling them at that height? There's a lot of holes in this thing.
There are. Well, there were a lot of things in the air in the 1800s. Most of them were alien, as we've known. And they probably saw one crash into what can only be described as a windmill. And they're like, shit, cheese it. And then they all puked and let it rain down. Here's my problem with this theory. If they do it, a lot of times they'll do it on the ground so they can fly. Once they're in flight, they're flying. Number two, and this is what I was kind of alluding to. I know you try to get out of the way. Don't you think if there's enough vultures to cover a fucking football field, you would see them in flight or somewhere near? Now, I know wind can take stuff, but 4-inch straps raining everywhere and smaller. There, it's not like I wouldn't think it was miles away. And vultures, well, let me look this up real quick because I don't want to say this wrong.
I don't agree with what I'm about to say.
Okay.
But I can answer your question, Brent. The theory goes that, see, vultures can fly really high.
That's what I'm looking at. Oh, shit. So 37,000 feet, the average vulture. Oh, no. Highest flying bird ever. That's the highest. No,
a griffin vulture.
Even other vultures, they can fly high. So
they can fly high. So the theory goes that there's an unusually large group of vultures flying really high. And for one reason or another, they start vomiting. Whether they're startled, one just accidentally does it and the rest kick in, who knows? The collective vomit via wind and gravity wound up raining down upon Mrs. Crouch and Chairman Meow. And poof, you have a meat shower. I want to know what Chairman Meow thought of the taste.
You know he was eating the shit out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised there was any left when they came back a week later.
He was pumped.
Yeah. There is one other abstract theory. This is a great one. This is from back then. Scientists today aren't necessarily buying this one, but the theory was that two men were sword or knife fighting and got picked up by a tornado. And so, you know, the swords and knives.
Oh, shit.
And, you know.
Chip, chop, 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 chop.
Little tornado. It turns it, basically turns the sword and knives into a wood chipper, and poof, you've got a meat shower.
I mean, not a year goes by, you don't hear about that happening.
How can you? I mean, even in the 1870s, you really can't look at just using your eyes and go, yeah, that's plausible.
All right. Do you have a theory? I mean,
let's hear yours.
I think it's very simple what happened, and I think we're overlooking the glaring probability of what happened. Was this was a long time ago, 144 years ago,
in a galaxy far away. That's not true,
but the reason might come from a galaxy far, far away. The mutilation of cows and horses and was new to the aliens at the time, and as they were beaming up a horse to do mutilation on it, not on purpose, it got caught in whatever tractor beam and just got scattered all over the countryside. I mean, it was aliens.
That checks out.
I mean, it. I would go further believing that than the dual tornado. Like, literally, the sword dual tornado theory, dual or tornado. Aliens went, sorry, my bad, kind of sounds a little bit closer to home for me.
Yeah, oops.
Yeah. Joe, what do you think it could have been?
This is one I'm just so amazed by. Like, I don't have a real theory.
It's, I don't want so there to be a reason.
Fascinating. Like, I did see one that at first seemed to make sense to me, which was it's some, like, you know, meat processing plant, a butcher shop. Was there an explosion?
Right.
You know, there's an explosion at the old Crouch place. But then they're like, well, wouldn't people have seen that if the explosion was close enough to actually fire all this meat out at people? And the other question I have is, were the Crouches being targeted by this whole situation?
What if God was just made a mistake? But he's hungover.
Yeah.
Went, oh shit, what? Oh, I hit meat.
No, it was Goody's original theorem was that God was seeking retribution against the Crouches.
Smite me, almighty meat smiter.
Yeah.
Cuz that's how he goes about it.
Yeah.
I think there's one other.
You get a flank.
We all get flanks.
Every time I think about what the scene would look like in this football field sized area,
which is often,
literally hourly, the one thing that for some reason always pops into my head is at the end of Watchmen, when Dr. Manhattan kills Rorschach and he just touches him and he explodes.
Spoiler alert.
And there's like the scene of him all over the snow. This is what I'm wondering. Was it Dr. Manhattan at work?
Dr. Manhattan went to pet a cow.
Yeah,
and
he was like, "Ah, crap!"
And he can, you know, go through space and time. So,
well, that's the thing. To him, time doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Now, crucial question. Then we can move on to John's. Is this Dr. Manhattan with his ding-a-ling dropped out, or is this with the underwear on?
Hmm. Fair.
Because that's a meat shower that we're all ready for. John. Hit me.
Consider yourself zing.
Zing of the day.
Oh, if you can't tell, Seabot got his sound effects back. We're back in our original studio today.
Yeah.
I don't have a theory, man. I don't know. Like, the Vultures doesn't see, what's weird to me is the Vultures seem so not like a good theory, and yet it's this theory that the experts, quote unquote, subscribe to.
It seems like the only thing that they could say, yeah, this could feasibly have happened.
Right. But what I do, instead of taking the time to give you a bullshit answer on what my theory is, because I don't have one, I just think it's cool that it rained meat.
Aliens.
I'm going to give you this from Atlas Obscura. First, I'm going to read you something from the article. Every October, around 200,000 people gather in Kentucky for court days, the largest outdoor event in the state. Ever since 1794, locals have bought, traded, or sold various goods at the festival held in the city of Mount Sterling. But in one of the strangest offerings in court days history, Kurt Goad, professor of art at Transylvania University, handed out meat-flavored jelly beans in 2007 to anyone who would eat them. Some people said the flavor of the dark red jelly beans reminded them of raw bacon. Another pair agreed with each other that they tasted like, quote, strawberry pork chops. Goad, who commissioned the jelly beans with their specific flavor profile, describes them as tasting like a, quote, heavily sugared bacon with metal aftertaste, end quote. So here's the deal. He found an old sample from the meat shower.
Joe brought this up earlier. They're still around.
Yeah. There are tubes and vials with amber liquid and pieces of meat in there.
Oh,
and
yet again, so
back where we began, like, this is not a theoretical thing that happened. Like, the theories are why it happened
and
meat
what it
rained
was,
down.
But that's right. So our, the hero of our story, Kurt, he has from Transylvania University.
Yes. Transylvania, you.
He had a taste lab analyze the flavor compounds of the meat sample from the meat shower.
That's what the job I need. In a bacon.
I don't think they literally ate it.
I did. Was Gary Oldman lurking around in the background, licking his lips while all of this was happening in Transylvania?
He was. He said,
"Ooh, fun! I'll be the mummy."
Anyway, he had the taste lab analyze it, and then reconstruct the taste that they found in a jelly bean. So in short, he made meat jelly beans to identify the type of meat that the meat shower was.
Wow.
The end of the story, no conclusion was found.
Can we buy these?
He says he still has some around in the article, but not necessarily for sale.
I mean, they've still got the formula, though, so I'm sure. So
could he provide us the formula or just send you guys one? That'd be a nice artifact to have in the studio.
That said, I mean, okay, so now we have another gross jelly bean flavor. It still can't be worse than black licorice.
I like black licorice.
Oh, you're so gross.
Jeez.
I like it.
Mike and Ike. Gross.
Now, I don't like Mike and Ike's. I just don't like the... I don't know. They're different to me.
Sorry, I mean LK Mike.
But I do like Blackjack gum and sometimes black licorice. Black jelly beans are okay, though. But yeah. Oh,
no, thank you.
Oh, man. I tell you guys, this one, it sounds so fake, but it's true. Like, it sounds like one of those things you're like, yeah, dude, it really happened.
That's the weirdest thing about this. We normally play an hour, hour and a half on this show wondering if something happened or not and coming to the conclusion that we have no fucking idea. And the one thing that is true here, that this happened.
Uh-huh. Right? You're right.
And Butch tasted it.
And Butch tasted it.
All right, kids. So what do you guys think it happened? Was it aliens? Was it vultures? Was it alien vultures? Was it just a duel gone bad in a tornado?
And probably most importantly, how much meat did Chairman Meow actually eat?
How can they tell us, John?
They can. I already told them once. I'll tell them again. Go to our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. All you have to do, log on to Facebook, search Hysteria Nation.
That's right. Or go to Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That is our regular page. You can send us messages on there. Huge shout out to all the people we appreciate so much on Patreon that help us. Week after week, month after month, if you want to go to patreon.com/hysteria51, you can get stickers and t-shirts and posters and pins and all sorts of stuff. Host your
extra
own show.
Content.
Yeah, so make sure you do that. If you want to hear us on Mondays, KGRA Radio, kgraradio.com. We have shows there every Monday night. Now, if you want to be on the show, you can leave us a voicemail.
773-669-7277. That's the phone number.
John, I got him with.
You brought some?
We are ready to go.
All right. Let's hear some.
Hey there, folks. I figured I'd call up and give you guys something that I had discovered when I was in high school.
The clap?
I had some people talking to me about
bird?
UFO sightings.
Oh, like
and
UFOs.
So I just got curious. So I looked up a comparison of... Well, there was a map for UFO sightings online of the U.S., and then there was a map of the U.S. with the major airports. And lo and behold, pretty much the biggest mecca of sightings also happened to line up with the biggest airports in the United States pretty closely.
People shit in the air and they don't know what it is, but it's probably exactly...
I'm not saying UFOs are just planes.
No. What that means is aliens are attracted to airports.
What are they going to just land in the field?
Just planes. Anyway, I figured I'd just give you that little tidbit. Thanks so much for producing the show.
The best part about that was how quantitative and scientific his ideas were.
It's funny. That is a very true thing, but it's also one of those things where they also, MUFON releases these types of maps. Most of those are proven as planes. These are just where they've seen them, but not like unproven. Unproven is the wrong thing to say. They'll put a pin everywhere someone saw a UFO.
Right.
Most of those are identified eventually. There's a smaller, much, much smaller amount that aren't. They also see things around. The sightings of Bigfoot happen to be where the woods are. You know what I mean? There's things like that. They just coincide. But a lot of things can be, I guess, explained away.
I don't know, man. Have you ever been to LaGuardia? I'm pretty sure I run into multiple aliens a day.
Easily. And also, there's so much vulture activity over most airports.
All right.
Every time my plane takes off, just meat everywhere.
Here we go.
My name is Kyle, and I have been listening to your show for several months now. What do you say you get those meatballs and you and that garage and bring the whole town down? I mean, paint the town red, like that. My neighbor is coming. I must go now. I will call you again soon.
I'm sure they said something there. I'm going to have to like boost up the audio. I couldn't hear anything.
I couldn't hear anything.
What did you sound like? A female robot voice.
Yes. Yes. That's what we'll call it.
Hey, I paid $30 already. Where's my building? You guys already, you know, I don't really have the ability to go down all the way to Chicago though. So I was really kind of hoping maybe, I guess you guys could maybe cut off a finger or like a toe or something and maybe ship it to me.
If he pays shipping,
I paid quite a bit of money to be able to sniff you guys. I don't
not
care
us
about
guys,
all stuff.
Number one. Someone didn't read the fine print.
I'm sure C-Bot would be happy to maybe drug you guys and cut something off and ship something. I can pay for the postage. I don't really care.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, I just feel like I should be able to sniff you guys without having to drive all the way down to Chicago. So.
This is
a
lesson
that's right.
in
I
disappointment.
Want to sniff you guys. That's all I care about.
So, here's the thing. Every time you've ever said that, I have said, nope, not a real thing.
It's not available anymore.
Oh, you pulled it off?
Oh, I did pull it off because one guy literally paid it and said, number one, he was leaving us all these horrible negative reviews and things like that. And
just, what?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't tell you.
You told me this story.
He's leaving us negative reviews and sending me like hate mail. And he paid the $30 and then said, give me your fucking home addresses. And I said, so this is a bad thing. And it's not going to be there anymore.
Okay.
So we removed it.
See, this is what happens when one bad apple spoils the whole.
Yeah. One bad apple spoils all of you smelling John Goforth. See what happens?
Mm-hmm.
And he smells like a Kentucky meat shower.
Like mutton.
Like rancid mutton.
Or a human infant's stomach tissue.
I mean, infant's stomach tissue.
How did this go so wrong? All I wanted to do was listen to voicemails. And now people are threatening my life because they can't sniff me.
All I want to do is taste some mystery meat. Why like, does anybody have?
Right. Well, I'm the one who had to answer this guy. And then he was telling me, all joking aside, we do not set out to upset anyone. We have a blast. He was telling us how we gay bash constantly on the show and we're rude to everyone and we're just terrible and I'm like, I don't think you
guys listening to the wrong show.
I don't know if he's thinking of the right show.
Yeah.
Wow, man, that's crazy. That let's listen to another voicemail.
One more.
Oh guys, you need to work on that voicemail. Anyway, this is CIA _ASS_ET. No, I'm not a robot. No, I'm not an alien. But I just left a message for Conspiracy Bot asking if, you know, maybe they wanted to hook up or something. But I just realized that I didn't leave a number, although I'll probably get my number. But, I just wanted to, please, Conspiracy Bot, please just give me a call. It's so...
Well, that's proof we'll play anything.
Literally anything.
But we need to work on that voicemail.
On it.
Siva, did you get a voicemail from him?
My legal counsel tells me I should not answer that.
He wanted to smell conspiracy, but it turns out. Oh, man, I tell you. So anyway, that's our thoughts on the old Kentucky meat shower. And if you guys want to come up with your own version of the Kentucky meat shower, Joe's, what's your personal email that they can send that to?
He'll tell you at the pizza party we're going to do right after the show.
Well, yeah, I've got a stack of business cards to give out.
Yeah.
Just meet me down at the James Joyce later.
I'm going to tell you, Joe, it was your pleasure to be here. So
welcome to be here.
You're a gentleman and a scholar in some situations. This not being one of them, and I'm glad you could be here.
I feel dirty. Can we just end this?
With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Joe.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay meat woke sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.